Welcome to this week's edition of Dugout Dish Podcast. I'm Andy Kirikidi, joined by my handsome co-host, Keith Glasser. How we doing?
Great. How are you?
We are entering that time of the year, Coach, where the quiet period, by the time this gets released, the quiet period will have started. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the different periods in the recruiting calendar, there's the evaluation period, which has been happening for roughly the last month. Division I baseball will go into their quiet period until March 1st, with a few dead periods in between. Essentially, what that means is Division I coaches cannot leave campus to evaluate players or have contact with players. Any evaluation, any camps, any in-person stuff is going to have to happen on that particular institution's campus. You will see a influx of camp on-campus camp invites and camps being posted on Twitter. That is your only opportunity to get in front of Division I coaches starting October 14th. The last day of the evaluation period is Sunday the 13th. Important to understand what that means. I think it has trickle-down effect on decisions that are being made. So we're going to take a little while to talk about what you need to know, what you should be doing, things you should be considering, and how to make the most of the next several months of the recruiting calendar to put yourself in a situation where come next spring and summer, when coaches can hit the road again, that you're a guy that they want to pay attention to. I will have one caveat. Jupiter, which is a huge, event. Historically has kind of been a rising senior event, and it's kind of draft related in a lot of senses, and a pretty fine filter in terms of the teams that go down there. So it's a collection of really talented players. It's more recently started to include those rising juniors go down there and showcase themselves as well. That was canceled because of the horrific hurricane that is about to hit the coast of Florida after Helene. There's a chance that the quiet period gets extended a week because there are coaches who are petitioning the NCAA to be able to go to that event because it will now fall in the quiet period. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. Who knows? I don't know. I have my thoughts, but I'll keep my overall thoughts to myself on that one. But that would be the one caveat. So we might get an extra week out of this evaluation period. But needless to say, the quiet period is upon us. And there's definitely some things that can be done from a development, from a recruiting perspective, that can put you in a advantageous position come March 1st. Monologue complete.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that you need to do is assess where you're at, you know, whether it's with your coaches or people like us or your family, whatever it might be. Assess where you're at and what it is, where are your deficiencies and what are your strengths. And you want to start to build up your deficiencies to make them, you know, better and also keep your strengths sharp. You know, a lot of people have been on this podcast and talked about, you know, doing the things that are not fun to do to make yourself better, whether it's getting your 60 time better or, you know, spending time getting better defensively, things like that, that show up in the spring and can really get you recruited. You know, hitting in the cage is only going to get you so far. You know, you can't be a one trick pony. You got to be able to play defense. You got to be able to play catch. You got to be able to throw. You know, the other part is what, you know, if you're an arm, you know, when's the last time you shut down, whether it's for a week or a month or 6 weeks, whatever it might be. If you've been throwing full bore since February, you know, there's a really high likelihood and I would argue a necessary shutdown period for you into the quiet period to, you know, not necessarily completely end throwing, but, you know, your high intensity throwing that you've been doing, you don't need to do for a little bit of time. Let your body rest, let your body recover, let your arm recover, let everything catch up. You know, and I think the other thing, and this is, you know, become so true in the very near past, is to get in the weight room and get bigger and faster and stronger, you know, for a multitude of reasons. One, it's going to put when you get to college, it's going to give you that learning curve and the physicality of what you need to undertake on a daily basis is going to be able to handle it more. you know, it also works during the spring, the upcoming spring, that, you know, you go put on 10, 15 pounds in the next couple months, you know, you can, you're going to see your velo jump. You're going to see your exit velos jump. You're going to be able to swing the bat harder. You're going to run faster. You're going to find yourself being able to develop a lot more at a quicker rate if you can legitimately commit yourself to being in the weight room and working on the things it is that you need to be working on. You know, and then the other is just making sure that you're staying diligent with coaches and following up and letting them know how you're doing. And, you know, when you get back up on the mound and you're throwing bullpens, like, hey, here's, you know, my most recent bullpen in January. You know, and hey, these are some swings that I had in December, and here's some swings in January, and here's some swings in February, whatever it might be, just to, you know, keep coaches updated and apprised of your situation, where you're at, and, you know, see that they are, you're working hard and where you're developing, and hopefully they come out and see you play, and you can reap the rewards of spending the next, you know, ballpark in November, December, January, February, March, the next 5 months, you know, really getting better at what it is that you need to do, so that coaches can show up and you can show out in the spring and really start your recruiting process on a high.
100%. The development, like, this is the time where you need to put your head down and you need to get after it, right? Because if you're going into this period of time and you're not being actively recruited, or you're getting some light interest, the truth is you're probably just not quite where you need to be, right? Right now, 26s, they're focused on, you know, for 26s, Division I coaches, they're the only ones who are really communicating with 26s at a heavy amount. I'm sure there's some guys who are throwing some lines out at the Division II and Division III levels, but their timelines are a little bit different. For me, I think before you even get into that development phase, which you're talking about, which is the weight room, the skill work, and making sure that these next 5 months are as productive as they possibly can be, and you start to close the gap on your competition, you start to improve yourself both physically and mentally, that's all super important and kind of dovetails off of what I'm about to say. But I think this is a really important time for some reflection and being able to look back on the last couple months, understand where you're at physically, right? Understand who's been showing interest, who hasn't been showing interest. You know, if you've gone to a bunch of camps and you've played in a bunch of really good tournaments and you're just getting some sniffs here and there, instead of getting frustrated and blaming everybody, like, oh man, like, they all got it wrong. Like, no, take a look at it and go, all right, well, I'm not getting quite the interest that I want. What do I need to do to become recruitable by these guys? Or for a lot of kids right now, for the vast majority of kids, it's what do I need to do in the next 5 months to make myself recruitable, period. Because there's a lot of kids right now that have the potential to be college baseball players at any level, Division I, II, or III, JUCO, NAIA, but they're not there yet. And they're 5 really good months away from getting there. So if you're that pitcher who is right-handed and you're 79 to 82, like, you're not firing anybody up right now, that's okay. All that means is you need to get to work. You need to get bigger. You need to get stronger. You need to get with somebody who can help you with velocity, with command, with pitch mix. And you need to put a plan together for the next 5 months, because March 1st comes around, if you're 79 to 81 again, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle if you don't have a really good 5 months, right? You got to see that velo jump. You got to see the physicality jump. And that's really cut and dry, and you need some people in your corner. And if you don't have anybody, you need to find somebody who can have that upfront, honest conversation about where you are right now, and then help you put together a plan that's going to get you where you want to go. It's one thing to know, like, hey, I need to get stronger. It's another thing to get with somebody who can actually help you accomplish that. It's one thing to know, well, I top out at 81. Like, I need to see a velocity increase if I want to turn some heads this spring. Great. That's good. You need somebody who can help you get there. Like, none of this is done. Very little of this process is done individually. That player has to put in the work individually, but they need people around them to help them get there. People with experience, people with knowledge that will, one, be honest with them, two, challenge them, and three, put them in a position to be successful. So before you even get into that development phase, you need to sit down, you need to look in the mirror, and you need to figure out, like, where are my deficiencies? What do I need to get better at? To your point, most kids, it's, you just need to get stronger. And a lot of things fall in line with added strength and added mobility. But if you've got deficiencies as a defender, right? And guys, you've gotten feedback that, hey, like, we really think you can hit, but like, we don't know where we're going to play you. Being positionless in the recruiting process is a really tough place to be right now, especially with the new roster limits that are likely to go into play next fall. Having guys on your team that can't put on a glove and go be at least a competitive defender is a really hard thing for coaches to put on their roster at this point. So if you get that feedback, what are you going to do about it? Right? If you're not strong enough and you're not offensive enough right now, you need to be able to take that feedback and get to work with it. If your breaking ball is not quite good enough, you know, there's guys who are 84 to 86 right now who are going, well, why am I not getting Division I offers? I see other guys who are, and they're 86 to 88. Okay, well, there's probably a gap in your repertoire that needs to be addressed. And instead of looking outward for reasons why things are happening, look in the mirror and go, all right, this is where I am right now, and this is where I need to go. And if you need a chip on your shoulder, you can still have that outward look, and you can kind of have that F you attitude that, like, that guy didn't like me, well, I'm going to prove him wrong. If that's what fuels you, go get it. Everybody goes about this differently, but the fact of the matter is that this period of time has to be focused on what are you doing to put yourself in a position to have an awesome spring.
Nailed it. Yeah, I think the other thing, you know, I didn't mention it and you hit it, is the mobility piece of, you know, making sure that you can move well and you're not stiff and you're being, you know, stretch, do some yoga, whatever it might be. The other thing I'll add for the quiet period, and especially for the 2026 class out there, is making sure that you're hitting the books and getting really good grades. It's a critical year in the admissions process, because it's the last real full year of academics that the admissions department at schools that it is you're going to go to apply to are going to take a look at. And if you do have a challenging schedule or whatever your schedule looks like, you want to make sure that you're providing the best snapshot of that, of your academics, that they can really take a look at. You're on that upward trajectory from freshman year to sophomore year to junior year, like, keep trending upwards. If you're a straight A student for your first 2 years, continue to be a straight A student. You know, if you struggled freshman year but got a little bit better, get better junior year. You know, we talk about this all the time, that, you know, the better your academics are, the more doors that are going to stay open to you longer in your recruiting process. You know, so there is a quiet period. Yes, you need to be focusing on your baseball stuff. You need to be hitting, you need to be throwing, you need to be in the weight room, you need to be focused on mobility. You also need to make sure that you're locked in on your academics, because make no mistake about it, when you get to college, it's the same thing. You are going to be asked to do all of these things while also making sure that you're maintaining a good GPA so that you can either A, stay eligible for the NCAA, or B, stay eligible for your school so that you can stay on the field. The last thing that a lot of coaches want are a bunch of guys who they have to babysit academically and coax through school. So, you know, make sure that you're locked in, you're getting really good grades, you're doing your homework, you're doing well on tests, you study for the SAT, the ACT. You know, those are good. Those are other things that you can do during this time frame to take your, you know, the fall SAT and ACTs are coming up. You can take them in the fall. You know, you get really good grades, you know, you get great scores on your test scores, might not have to take them again. You get okay test scores, hey, take them again in the spring, you know, but it's something that, you know, again, that it's the last kind of full year snapshot that admissions gets to look at when you go to apply. You want to make sure that you are putting your best foot forward there, and you can do it. I mean, we're, you know, a month and a half into school. So, you know, we're creeping up on some finals or some midterms and things of that nature in these classes. Like, make sure you're getting good grades in those. Take time to study and really lock down, because it also shows that you can handle what you're going to undertake in college. Like, it's a lot when you go to college and you want to play college athletics, whether it's baseball or whatever sport it is that you choose to or you're lucky enough to be able to get recruited for and go play, right? You want to make sure, like, you're going to be asked to lift. You're going to be asked to, you know, go to study hall and go to class and travel and eat and figure everything else on your own and manage a social life. It's a lot that you have to handle. You want to start being able to set that foundation for yourself when you're in high school. Like, yeah, it's great. Like, you know, It's a red flag when parents used to email me and be like, wow, he's just so busy. He's got a lot going on. Like, yeah, so do my guys, but they can still communicate with me. So please have Joey shoot me an email. You know, it's, you need to be able to handle this stuff and reach out to coaches and carve time out to do that stuff so that you can put yourself in the best situation that you can put yourself in to not only A, be recruited, but B, build relationships with these coaches so that when they come see you, there's a foundation there. And then, hey, like, we really like him. We've had conversations. Like, let's take this further down the road and see where it is, because I've seen that he's taken care of his academics. He's clearly done what he needs to do off the field to get himself better in the spring. Like, you're going to put yourself in a far better situation. And at the end of the day, it's sacrifice, right? Like, you're going to have to sacrifice a lot if you want to play college baseball. Like, make no mistakes about it. Whether it's baseball, lacrosse, soccer, football, basketball, name the sport. If you want to play in college, you have to sacrifice stuff on the front end when you're in high school. So start now. If you haven't started already, make sure you're hitting the books. Make sure you're doing the things it is. Like, this is the perfect time to be able to sit down and hammer out emails on a Northeast cold October Tuesday night when we're recording. Like, it's like 55. It's awesome. I love it. I live for this weather. But it's a great time to sit down on the couch, pull your computer out and, you know, hammer out a couple of emails to coaches and just be like, hey, this is, you know, wrapping up the fall. This is what I've done so far. You know, I'll follow up when the fall is over. You know, I'm going to shut down for a couple of weeks. This is my plan. And, you know, when I start back up, I'll certainly start to follow up with videos and such like that. Awesome, man. Great. Keep me apprised of how you're doing, you know, but like things like that can really set you apart from everyone else that you're competing with for those spots that are going to have coaches on, you know, on the lookout for you when they go see and really put you on their board because, hey, great communicator, built a relationship, doing all the things he needs to do. Like, video looks good. We should get out and see this kid and see if he might be a fit for us. And it can all start now. If you haven't started, let's start now. If you've already started, keep it rolling, bro.
Keep it rolling. Be spot on with that. Like, you got to take ownership of your process. You got to be accountable. And that's not just the weight room and your skill work. It's classroom. It's academics. It's communication with college coaches. One other portion of the quiet period that I think, and I think me and you both have strong feelings about some of this stuff, is that you have to understand, you have to wrap your head around the fact that Division I coaches can't leave campus, right? There's going to be invites going out for indoor showcases by name whatever showcase company in December, in January, in February. I caution specifically pitchers, and I implore you to think long and hard about when and where you're going to showcase yourself. And this is specifically targeted at pitchers because I think a lot of times what can happen is that we rush to try to get visibility and we don't understand what we're getting ourselves into. If you go and throw to showcase in the middle of January, there will be no Division I coaches there. So if that's your aspiration to play Division I baseball, you're not getting in front of anybody. You're putting yourself at injury risk if you are not ready to roll. And if you're a high school kid, specifically in the Northeast, and we've talked about, you know, like Florida and Texas and stuff, their high school seasons are a little bit earlier, so their timelines are a little bit different. But if you're in the Northeast and you don't play your first high school game until April 1st, there is no reason to be blowing it out in January. You're not ready to go throw 15 pitches in a bullpen with no coaches there just in hopes that somebody puts your clip on Twitter. If you're working out at a facility, you can get TrackMan data. You can get Rapsodo data. It's just as valuable as going to one of these showcases at this point. So just understand and make sure that if you're going to go to one of these things and you're going to go showcase yourself, and this goes for on-campus camps too. If you're not ready to pitch, if you're not sharp, if you're not built up enough to go out and throw 100% in front of coach to try to impress somebody, don't do it. You don't want to have a bad showing unnecessarily. And the other thing is you don't want to put yourself at injury risk and ruin your whole spring because you tweaked your shoulder or, you know, you pulled a hamstring or your forearm or your elbow acted up and you have to take 3 weeks off. And now your April 1st start is now a May 1st start because you're not ready to go for the season. Like, you need to be available and you need to be healthy when these coaches are allowed to go back out on the road, and you're not doing yourself any favors by going to a showcase just to go and showcase. Not to mention you'll save yourself some money. But be thoughtful about where you spend your time in terms of the showcasing piece. I do think there is value for position players and even pitchers in October here, early November, if you're not going to completely shut down from throwing. Go to some on-campus camps. If you're really interested in the school and somebody's giving you good information, like, that's a great opportunity to do so. But once you get into December, January, and February, and you've been shut down or you've gone into workout mode, think twice about it and make sure you're ready to go and put your best foot forward if you choose to do so, because there's a lot of examples of guys who go out there and they go and blow it out the first week of February so they can get something posted on Twitter and they look all good. And then, you know, you get a coach who calls and it's like, hey, what about so-and-so? When's he throwing? I mean, he's on the shelf for the next month because he's got forearm tendonitis because he decided to blow it out when he wasn't in shape in February. Like, you don't want to have that conversation. You don't want coaches to have to communicate that with other coaches. So think long and hard about that. And if you can't tell, this is like a sensitive topic for me because I do think it's one of the bigger mistakes that people can make during the quiet period, specifically in January and February, is you rush to go get exposure when you don't really need exposure. You need time to get healthy and you need time to develop.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, you can do yourself not only from an injury standpoint, like, you can do yourself a disservice, because if you go there and you're not ready and you're not good, the vast majority of coaches are going to write an X next to your name or a line through your name and move on with their lives and not necessarily think that you're going to be recruitable for them. Obviously not in that moment, but, you know, down the road too. And if you are good, they're just going to circle your name and be like, man, we're going to have to get out and see them pitch in the spring or the summer, which is the exact same thing they're going to do if you don't go. So you can do yourself way more of a disservice from a recruiting standpoint. Not only from an injury standpoint, but, you know, I've said this on here before. I stopped going to them because I saw a handful of kids, and some of them were from the 518, where, like, they went to some of these camps and I was there and they blew it out and they were really good. And I was like, I got to follow up with these guys. And then you go and watch them in the spring and either they're on the shelf or they're not even close to where they need to be because they're on a 15-month cycle of just throwing and their body just can't handle it. And, you know, it's, you know, my personal feeling obviously is very in line with you that, like, you know, I believed that 8-9 years ago, like, I stopped going to those because I thought it was more of a detriment than anything else. You know, so, like, that's my own personal feeling. I'm not saying that mine is right. And I have no ill will towards anyone who runs those events or people who go. It doesn't matter. I just didn't necessarily think that it was the greatest thing that we could be doing as a sport and as a, you know, group of people. So I chose to remove myself from that situation. But, you know, I just think that there's far more negatives that can come out of it for student athletes than positives. And, you know, for us, I don't think that it's worth it for people we work with to go. Now, again, if you're a Florida or Texas kid and you're playing in February and there's something going on down there, like, yeah, okay, that's not a big deal. But if you're a Northeast kid and you're going down to Florida for the, you know, Valentine's Day massacre tournament, like, are you even in shape to do it? What are we doing? You're not playing meaningful games for another 3 months. Like, why are you in good enough shape to go do this? Like, you're better off just being in the weight room and continuing your build up so that you're really, you know, you're pretty good at the start of tryouts in March. And then you're starting to really be in good form come the end of March, beginning of April. And you can handle what it is you're about to undertake in April, May, June, July, August, September, and maybe into October, instead of, you know, never shutting down and pitching January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Like, that's a lot. you know, there's a reason that the best in the world don't do that. So the idea that 15, 16, and 17 year olds should be doing it is doesn't make sense to me. So in short, think twice about going to it. Think three times, maybe not even twice. Think three times about doing it.
The reality is that for most kids, next summer is when you need to be peaking, right? We've talked about this. It's hard for high school coaches to go see high school games. We go and see them. We get out as much as we can. And there are some schools that, you know, it's become a little bit more common where, you know, they'll fly to go see guys, or they'll miss a day of practice to go see guys. So like coaches get out in the spring, but it's a very targeted group of individuals. And it is hard. Like Monday's typically the day that you can get on the road. And if you're going to see a pitcher, he throws on a Wednesday and you have a game, like a lot of schools aren't going to sacrifice an assistant coach to go see a guy. It does happen. We know guys who do it, but you know, the reality is this springtime is hard for coaches to get out because they're struggling so much. So you really want to be showing off what you can do in the spring, but you want to peak in the summer. It's really hard to peak in the summer if you get hung up at the beginning of the year because you didn't manage your offseason correctly and you got ramped up too quick and you start to burn out. You didn't maintain your lifts during the spring. You didn't carry over the work that you've done over the last 5 months, and you're really not prepped to go out and show yourself off in that June, July, August timeframe, where that's the where the vast majority of recruiting for 99% of kids is going to be. And 99% is not hyperbolic. There's only 2.4% that go and play in college, like or Division One. You know, the vast majority of kids are going to play Division II and Division III. Like that's when they're hot and heavy in terms of their recruiting. Like you need to be ready to go for that window of time and make sure that you're healthy for that window of time. You're not doing yourself any justice by blowing it out January 14th at some random indoor event where no coaches are going to be at. There's just, to your point, just cost benefit just doesn't add up for me. Something that
especially if you are looking to be recruited by Division I guys, like, you know, hey, listen, if you're looking for Division II and III, like, you know, and you're a position player, hey, that's not the worst idea in the world. I think we should be a little bit clearer in this side of things. Like if you're a hitter and you want to be, you're being recruited by Division II and III schools, and like this is an opportunity to be seen by some of those schools, might not be the worst idea in the world. But if you're an arm and you're not ready, not a good idea. If you're an arm who is getting some Division I interest, not a good idea, because no one's there to watch you. So like you want to know these rules and you want to know these things, and you know it's to each an individual person and position, but you know, the point is, like, know what you're getting into before you just opt into doing something. Like, know all the, ask the questions and know all the things that you need to know before you opt into that.
And if you're going to go throw during that window of time, at least do it in front of coaches that you want to be in front of, right? If a school that you really like is doing a camp in February, and you're ready to go, like you might as well go throw in front of coaches that you want to get evaluated by, versus it's an event that'll be lightly covered at best. You know, and I think that's a general rule of thumb for how you spend your money in this process, is like you need to make sure that if you're going to pay to go to a showcase or a workout, make sure that the schools that you're interested in or schools that are feasible are actually going to be there. Like, you know, you'll see some of these organizations advertise, you know, Virginia is going to be there and Wake Forest is going to be there. Well, if you're not one of those type of guys, going to that camp doesn't do you any good being in front of those guys. So making sure that you're actually going to throw in front of a list of coaches or at a camp at a school that is of interest to you, that's a really good foundation for how you go about the showcase process. And I don't think it changes during that window of time. You just need to be cautious about whether you're actually ready to go showcase or not.
Yes. Yes.
I agree with you, Keith. It may be your opinion, but I think your opinion is correct. And I'm sure there's some other people out there, and there's one-off cases for everything, and there's exceptions to every rule. But general rule of thumb, I think what we've gone through here is some pretty solid advice in terms of how you handle this process during this window, right? The development piece is massive. Most kids need to make a big jump physically to get in the conversation just to be a recruitable, never mind to be a Division I player. You need to nail down your academics. Yeah. We've talked about this. It's so important, and it probably doesn't get talked about enough because so much of what happens here is baseball, but that academic piece keeps doors open. And to your point, I think you illustrated this really clearly. It's the last chance you have to showcase your academics.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're a high academic kid and you're looking to get into some of these really selective schools, you don't have a lot of wiggle room. You have to get A's. B minuses and C pluses don't get you into elite institutions. So if you're one of those really high academic kids, like, you really need to take the academic piece to heart, because when push comes to shove, yeah, you need to be good enough to play at that school first, but you don't want to get turned down because you decided to take a couple weeks off in your chemistry class and you ended up getting a B minus instead of an A minus because you half-assed it for a couple weeks and got a bad score on a test. That might be the difference between you being admissible and not being admissible. That's how competitive it is at these schools.
Yes. And especially if you're looking at schools that, you know, if you're interested in the STEM field, like, you want to make sure that you're nailing math and science courses, because I've seen the transcripts and I have a pretty good idea of what gets in and what doesn't at a pretty elite STEM school. So, and I worked in admissions too, so I should at least caveat it with that as well. Like, that B minus could be the difference between you being admitted or waitlisted or just a flat out no. So, you know, if those are the types of schools that you're aiming at, like, you want to make sure that you're nailing down your academics so that you give the best impression of yourself academically that you can.
100%. And then I don't think you can hammer this home enough outside of the development and the academics, is you need to start to think about the schools that are the right fit for you based on where you're at right now. What type of schools can you play at? What types of schools academically are fit for you? If you get a little bit better, does that change? If you get a lot better, what does that list look like? And you start to put together a list of schools that you want to communicate with, and you can start that communication. It doesn't mean that these guys are all going to respond to you. It doesn't mean that any of them are going to recruit you. But if they don't know about you, if you're going about this process on your own, you have to be willing to roll the dice by sending out 30 or 40 emails every month just to let guys know, hey, coach, here's what I got. Here's what I got coming up. I saw that you have a camp. I'm interested in coming to camp. Got my high school schedule. Here's my high school schedule. So on and so forth. Like, these guys can't see you. They can't communicate you if they don't know about you. This process is way too competitive to not take the time to do this kind of stuff. And I've had this conversation. I know you've had it with folks too. Is like, well, we sent out these emails and nobody responds. Yeah, that's not really the point. The point is you have to send those emails, because if you don't send them, you're never going to get a response. Nobody's ever going to know about you if you don't do that. If you don't follow people on Twitter, if you don't have that proactive motor to get you to go do some of this stuff, eventually that work and persistence and consistency in that process, it will pay off. But if you don't do it, you're not going to get any results. Now, if you send 50 emails and you get 5 responses, that's better than the 0 responses you get if you don't send any emails. That's how I look at it, at least.
Yeah, no, it's huge, because, you know, you're going to stay front of mind with people. And when I show up to an event and I see your name, it's going to jog my memory of, like, this kid's reached out to me in the past. He's interested in our school. I should make sure that I at least take a brief look at what it is that he does to see if he might fit the skill set we're looking for. But if you never do that, you know, it's not saying that we don't pay attention, we don't recruit guys that we have never heard of, because that is patently false. That happens quite frequently. You know, that happens just as much. But I can promise you, if you reach out to coaches and you're consistent in your communication and what you're doing and what you're showing, you like when you show up to events, coaches are going to know, like, okay, this kid's super interested. He's reached out. I've watched his video. His video is good. Like, let's see if it matches up. And you instantly are going to be moved to the top of the list of that event for that, what that coach is watching, because he's going to know, like, okay, here are the 10 kids that I know that have reached out to us that are interested. I got to make sure I, you know, pay attention a little bit to make sure that, like, to see if their skill set matches up. So you, like, they're already going to pay attention now. All you got to do is show out, you know, and it can be the difference between you having someone or a handful of coaches really lock in and watch you, or, you know, you're just another guy and just another number going through that showcase.
I mean, I can speak from personal experience that before I would go out to a tournament or before would go to a showcase, a lot of times you get that information ahead of time. I would go through my list and mark guys that had reached out to us. Mm-hmm. Mark guys specifically that reached out to us that was like, oh, that kid was kind of interesting. Like, yeah, he was 82 to 84. Looked like he moved pretty well. Like, I want to make a point. I want to see that kid. Or if I'm going to a tournament, I've got my target guys that I need to go sit on, right? Guys we're actively recruiting. I need to make a decision on. That's important. But I'm also looking at all the other schools. I mean, shoot, I had a text message with a coach ahead of Fort Myers. Was telling him about a kid who was going to throw down there. And he was like, actually, you know what? I just looked at the schedule. That's a really good time slot because I have an 8 o'clock game that's worth me going to, and I got a 12 o'clock game. So I'll definitely be at that game. Like, coaches aren't, they're not just looking at one specific thing. They're looking at the whole landscape. So if a coach knows that you play on a specific team, and I'm looking at my schedule for whatever tournament I'm going to, and I got a game at 1 o'clock that I got to go see, and I don't have another game until 6:30 that I like have to be at, but I look at my schedule and I'm like, oh, that shortstop from Long Island emailed me. Oh, he's got a game at 3:30. Yeah, I'm going to go check that kid out. I'm going to be there anyways. That happens all the time. And if you don't have that email, if you don't follow that coach on Twitter, if you don't post your schedule on Twitter, coaches just don't know where you're going to be. And it's easy to get overlooked.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times every event I ever went to, I would fill out, like, I would look and see like how many kids have reached out to us and who do I need to see. And I'd make sure that I would, at least if it was a tournament, sometimes it might be a little bit more difficult, but, you know, especially at showcases, like they're all in the same field or two, like you can really see everything you need to see. But showcase, like tournaments, I would do the same thing. Like, okay, I don't have somebody that I really need to see in this time slot. Let me like, oh, these three kids have reached out to us and they're playing each other over here on field three. I'm going to sit on this game and watch these kids for a little bit and see if it like, see what's worth it for us. Like watch them, seen their video. It looks interesting. I want to see what this could be. Now, all of this ties back into, you know, what you are doing during the quiet period. If you're not sending emails out and you're not in the weight room and you're not going to do the things it is that you need to do to advance your skill set, this could all be for naught. But if you're doing all of those things while also being really good in the classroom and also reaching out to coaches and starting to build that relationship, now you're going to put yourself in a far more advantageous position to be recruitable because you've done all of these things over the course of the last 5 or 6 months.
Moral of the story is there are 5 months that are coming up that may be the difference between you playing college baseball and not playing college baseball. Not a scare tactic. It's just the reality of it. If you're going into this period and you don't have any offers, you probably need to get better. And there's no better time to do it than right now. And you got 5 months to hammer it out academically, athletically, physically, emotionally. Be proactive in what you do. Make sure that you make these 5 months during the quiet period as productive as you possibly can, because you don't want to look back and say that you shorted yourself a little bit and you didn't really get done what you needed to get done during this window. And then you get to August or September of next year and you just don't have the interest that you're looking for. And you're able to draw back to like, well, shoot, I freaking took a month off between the middle of December and January. Like, it's not going to get it done. This process is way too competitive. There's too many kids who want a piece of this that are willing to outwork you. You know, so you need to really think about that if you're listening to this and playing college baseball is a dream of yours, or if you're just a somebody who wants to play college sports in general, whether it's baseball or not, you have to understand that the competition is stiff. There's a reason that only 8% of kids play NCAA baseball. It's hard. And there's limited spots. And in order to do that, to your point, you need to make some sacrifices. You need to make sure that you're doing what needs to be done. Anything else you got to add there, Coach?
The only thing that I will put an asterisk on to put a bow on it is, even if you don't have an offer, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not in the future or haven't talked to anyone. Like this, especially for juniors right now, like this, we've cut multiple podcasts on this tonight, and I hope this shines through a little bit. With the new rule changes stuff, it's going to slow things down. So nobody hit the panic button here. Just as we talked about, do all of these things along the way, and you're going to put yourself in a pretty advantageous position when you get into the spring and the summer to be recruited and start entertaining offers. And the likely, you know, for Division Ones, you're looking at June, July, August. Division Twos and Threes, you're looking at, you know, probably July, August, September, October for Division Threes. So like, it's still, you still have a full year really before you are likely going to be entertaining offer, you know, eight months to a year for your really entertaining offers. And there's a lot of things that can happen in that time frame. So do the right thing, make the sacrifice, do all these things so that you can put yourself in the best spot that you can actually be in to be recruitable in a couple months.
Well said, my friend. With that, I hope you enjoyed the conversation. Hope you learned something. Tune in next week and we will talk to you then. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMDBaseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on EMDBaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.